Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Oh, we know what's up. I'm telling you, Bubba. Another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I am Brady Wright, my co-host Shane Osborne, the master of all things mechanical, who is not with us tonight because he has a boo-boo, and yes. He will be back next week doing just fine. And, of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, who is searching even as we speak for the macaroon that he dropped behind the couch over there. I think it's underneath in the cat hair. Back to the blacktop is first. We're going to check out a bunch of stuff going on in the automotive world, and as per usual, Steve has spared no expense,
which
means he spent zero. Coming up with a bunch of really cool stuff to talk about. What you got?
Well, first off, I just want to say what's up is we got Charlie the Chimp. He's hanging up here above the studio.
Encourage him.
And when we go to video, which will be down the road, everybody will see the mascot.
That's right.
And Charlie the Chimp is hanging. He's up above us.
He and his fuzzy dice.
So anyway, when we go video, you'll see it. That's our mascot.
This is like the old Groucho Marx show where the duck would come down and you win $100.
Yeah,
Charlie the Chimp is going to come down, and we're all going to get
Charlie's been
dice.
There since I opened up my office. So 10 years.
Disgusting commentary on us. You know, when we do go video, it's going to be either really, really thrilling to see the depth of palatial accompaniments that we have here in the studio, or people are going to go, these guys are operating out of a broom closet.
Actually, you have operated out of a few broom closets close to it when you were in the radio world.
So are you saying I'm coming out of the closet? Is that what you're
going
for?
You know, the old radio world with the wood paneling on the side of the
walls. Oh, man. And the shag carpet.
Yes.
We don't even want to talk about that.
Ours is much better than that. Jeez. Well, I know that you always love me to talk about electrics.
My favorite thing in the entire universe.
Know. Well, I got a couple stories that I thought I would pass along for everybody here. After painfully slow start, sales of electric vehicles finally seem to be gaining some desperately needed traction. According to a new study, suggested global sales of hybrids, plug-ins, and pure battery electric vehicles will reach 1.6 million this year.
Is this globally or the United States?
This is globally.
Well, that's still, you know, that actually isn't bad. Considering the price point of these things.
Well, and considering
1.5 million?
Yeah, 1.6 million.
A
25% increase from 2017, though.
Right.
It's
coming on.
It's coming on. And the shift comes at a critical time for automotive industry, and the manufacturers like Fiat, Chrysler, automobiles, long skeptical of battery-based technologies, are ramping up production plans. About 165 models are already available in various markets worldwide.
Yep.
I didn't know. My gosh, I didn't know there was 165 varieties of electric cars.
Well, it's the different models. It's not, you know, manufacturers.
Okay, so SSESXSLL.
Yeah, it's that kind of
same,
stuff.
Okay, okay.
But still, I mean, there's electric cars made offshore that we don't get here.
No.
You know, so it's possible.
Well, and a big market is China, and General Motors plans to be delivering 10 new energy vehicles according to its newly outlined path for electrification in China. The announcement made in China notes 10 NEVs will arrive between now and 2020, and it is likely to complicate GM's discussion on emission standards in the U.S. and the state of California. So, again, they see China as the burgeoning market.
Well, it is. It's huge, of course.
America is saturated. You're only going to sell to people who already own vehicles.
Well, and there is, don't you agree, there's going to be, at some point, a perceptible shift between internal combustion, whatever, to electrics. Sooner or later,
I think they get the longevity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially
and a network of charging.
And
places.
A network of charging. Motorcycling, it's the same thing. They need to expand the amount of range on these bikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 100 miles is just not long enough.
Right now, if you think about it, a typical cruising motorcycle with a 5-gallon tank, you're looking at, say, 40 miles to the gallon. I'm just going to be conservative. So, you know, that's 200 miles, give or take. 100 miles on a charge, they're almost there.
But you've got to stop and wait quite a long time for that charge.
That's what it's going to be. It's not so much the range.
We've
can you recharge in 5 minutes, like you can fill up a tank.
Can you actually have, Walt was telling me that he thought what would be nice is to have an battery exchange system, so you'd slot of a battery goes in, you pull it one out, and you drop it in.
If you could have them small enough and inexpensive enough, yes, maybe so. But there's another thing. Right now, those batteries are hideously expensive.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I can fill the tank up for, you know, $25-$30 depending on what you're, you know, driving.
Right.
And you're not going to do that with a battery at $550.
And so. I don't know if they want you to have slots anyways, because you could walk away with that battery and then...
Well, plus, even if you did it with a credit card or some sort of, you know, locking mechanism, now...
What if you damage it?
Well, whoever owns the charging station, there's a lot of overhead in keeping one of those things stocked.
Oh, my
gosh. So there's still stuff that needs to get
figured out. There is. And then...
They need USB batteries.
Yeah.
That last 24 hours. That cost $10. There's your challenge, General Electric. Go for it.
I actually have thought about battery technology as far as what if they look into how do electric eels charge their own current?
Eel power.
Going more into a organic mindset versus...
Eel power.
Yes. I'm just thinking, this is off the cuff, but I'm thinking... What about something like that? Anyhow, is there some chemical reactions?
Why not?
You know,
sure.
Well, what is a lead in water? It's putting off gas, which creates electricity, which powers the thing.
Well, the science is pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just a matter
of
doing
it in a new direction.
There's a way.
Well, speaking of going in a different direction, Jag goes off road automatically. As a series of recent collisions have demonstrated, it's not easy to develop cars capable of driving on their own on a regular highway.
That's right.
Now, imagine the challenge that would be involved in programming an autonomous vehicle to operate off-road. But that's precisely what Jaguar Land Rover is hoping to do with the new Project Cortex. The British automaker will invest $5 million to come up with vehicles that have all-terrain, all-weather autonomous capability. Self-driving is an inevitability for the autonomous
it's gonna happen
automatic
no matter what.
Industry. I don't know. I think for military, great. You've got drones driving around out there with nobody. But do you want to go off-road in any vehicle and not enjoy the fact that you're going off-road? Isn't that the part of you,
well,
want to go off-road is to actually drive off-road. You want to go automatic?
I think they need them for moon landing vehicles or something. You know, that's...
God,
that's
I don't
great,
know.
But, well, you know what? Out of technology and just whack stuff like that comes a lot of interesting developments that
the
maybe
offshoot,
they'll use for something else.
That's
yeah.
right. The
yeah.
offset of that, it might end up being a little different. But
sure.
I just thought, when I go off-road, that's the whole idea is enjoying the off-road experience, sliding through the corners.
You make your Land Rover Iron Man outfit that
that's right.
shows up when you need it.
Well, even those... for
or
those
not.
Iron Man, yeah.
Come on. How does he get the suit to fly to him? Come on.
That's right.
Come on. It's autonomous.
And it kind of loads itself onto him and everything.
Oh, Hollywood, you've done it to us again.
CGI.
That's
CGI.
Right. The all-new Honda CGI 1000. There you go. Next, friends.
CGI.
What? Why not?
I like it.
Sure.
Jaguar CGI.
Okay, if you use
1000.
That, I get the credit. That's
yes,
all
you do.
I can't. You heard it here first.
Honda
folks.
CGI 1000. Oh, I love it. Droid.
Oh, there you go.
Even though utility vehicles accounted for more than two-thirds Lexus sales in May, Toyota Luxury Vehicles Units, Lexus, has decided it will not get rid of passenger cars. Because you think about it, they're competing with Mercedes and
sure.
Cadillac
yeah.
and in a few others that enjoy the sedans. And I don't think you're ever going to go away with wanting not to have a sedan.
Well,
you
know,
enjoy a nice high-end sedan.
Yeah, but see, you know, Ford has already made the choice. They're going to phase out sedans.
They're going to the Navigator. That's
right.
going to be their high
and,
end.
And there's a lot of money in SUVs. Everybody knows that it's, you know, the vehicle of choice. So Ford is already going to take the step.
Yes.
Will other makers follow suit? Well, a couple of them have made noises about doing it. But does that mean that this sedan is dead? Well, I give you, as evidence to the contrary, muscle cars. They're not dead.
They're not dead.
And they're sedans.
That's
so,
right.
I don't know. This will be interesting to watch.
It's kind of like electric. Everybody thinks they're going to go electric, but
yeah.
I think we got a long ways to go before we are fully electric. Maybe decades.
Well, let's hope so.
Yes, I like gasoline.
I like motors that start up.
Yes, me too.
Hey, today's trivia question is coming up. We got a rundown of the week's events, car shows, and other stuff ahead on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Don't touch that dial.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade, trunning 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces, 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwich is a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more.
Well, we're back for the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's Brady and Steve here. And, you know, it's Shane's not here because he's got a boo-boo.
Yes.
And it's
he'll be back next week.
Yes. Time for the windshield view. And today I thought we would talk a little bit about our latest Hot Rod Church.
Oh, yeah. The Hot Rod Church was last weekend. And
Company Customs.
Yeah. It's a thing that happens the first Sunday of every month. And this has been the second one. And we're going to have two completely different reports because Steve and I both went.
Yes.
But he went for the first half and then he left. And then I went for the second half.
Yes.
And so this is going to be like a two-part saga.
Well, what I noticed is...
What happened before Darth Vader got there?
Well, I don't know. But a number of people that were there last time showed up.
Yeah.
And new people that I had not seen before showed up.
Which
so
is,
there was
which
probably a handful of new people, and I was talking to them, and I says, oh, I do a show, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Well, what's that? I'm like, you know Shane, and you don't know about our show?
How dare you?
So I handed him a card. I handed a few cards. But the bottom line is, it's just a very casual kind of thing. People come in, there's some donuts, coffee, and people just start talking about their cars. And we walk around, and we look. And here's what I noticed, Brady. No one's got a $100,000 car sitting there. These are cars that get driven. There's all styles and varieties of cars. And people love the passion of cars. Some of them have two or three or four or five of them. They're down there with their one. But these are just like our guest last week, Ed Jensen. I mean, just a normal guy that happens to have a lot of cars, enjoy working on cars. This is the passion of people who enjoy hanging out, drinking coffee in the morning on a Sunday morning. You could be sleeping in. Well, most people aren't sleeping anymore because you've been 30 years of the grind. You don't sleep in anymore.
I wake up at 5 no matter what.
Yeah, 6 at the morning for me.
Yeah.
And so it's just a really nice group of people. And I think it's just going to continue to grow as we move forward.
I think so. Well, you know, Elton, he's a smart guy, and he's obviously created this thing for two purposes. I mean, number one, it's a social event at a time when most car events don't take place.
That's
a lot of times,
right.
You know, you got the Friday evening cruise in and you got the Saturday show and shine, and those things are pretty common. And lots of places around almost every big city or small city, you know, there's one of those. But a Sunday morning thing is kind of fun, hence the name Hot Rod Church. We
yep.
can go and worship at the altar of chrome and steel.
Yep.
And it's
tongue
kind of
cheek.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And the whole coffee and donuts thing this week, or this most recent week, Elton is doing something, or he did something that we talked about the first time. He actually did a little shop tour, and
yes.
You know, he showed some stuff that they do. It's kind of fun because one thing that doesn't happen at a lot of events like that is you don't really come away with anything. Not that camaraderie isn't something to come away with,
mm-hmm.
but in this case, it's like, let me show you how the English wheel works, or let me show you what, or let's try, you know, some piece of the fab, you know, equipment or gear, or let's do this. It's kind of cool because you can take a skill back with you, or at least the understanding of a skill, so that, in my case, I watched him fiddle around with the English wheel a little bit
right.
and the air hammer. And it's like, okay, now I understand why that's a skill, and I understand that I can't do it.
Right.
You know, and that's good to know, because if a lot of people say, well, I'll go buy one of those. Well, first off, you're not going to buy one of those. But even if you did have the money to fork over for something like that, it takes a long time to get good at it.
You know,
and it's better probably to just go down and spend the money to have a pro do it in half an hour as opposed to taking 6 months to learn. So it's really helpful to do stuff like that, and that's kind of what the Hot Rod Church is heading for, and I'm glad he's doing it.
And what's really cool is every month you go down there, and they have these vehicles they're working on. They've been working on for a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
And they're moving, they're progressing forward. So what you saw first
it's
was...
It's fun to see the customer's cars.
It just, they're slowly progressing. Okay,
yeah.
We cut this out, we did this, we replaced that.
Yep.
Oh, look, you've got the primer on there now. Oh, you're doing the feathering, and you're working all that out. Because a month ago, and you're thinking, God, they're taking a long... Yes, they're taking a long time, because working on a car, you're spending 20, 30, 40 hours and on just doing the whatever. And then I'm like... And so I'm talking to Shane about, you know, I'm going to need some floor panels and stuff, and should I buy an aftermarket? And he says, you know, look, Steve, here's what we do over here. We
sure.
can form
here's
this.
An idea
here's
about
an idea
how to finish
of how
your
to,
project.
How to do it.
Sure.
And... You know, we can create these things cheaper than you can buy them for, and they're going to fit the first time.
Yeah.
And let me show you right here. I go, that looks like a factory. Yes, we can do that. We
yeah.
can do that here. So what I learn is people that are very skilled. I have a very good friend that's a sheet metal worker. He does HVAC and all that. And
right.
He's done gas stations where they do all the sheet metal for all the displays, all the up above and stuff. And he doesn't have his own shop, but he would get it. I'll have to get a hold of Russ and have him come down to the Hot Rod Church. But you just realize that Shane is just a wealth of skills when it comes to working on vehicles.
Well, that's why we call him the master of all things
he
mechanical.
Is.
I mean, it sounds like a tongue-in-cheek thing, but
no.
You know, since he's not here to defend himself, he's really an excellent mechanic.
Top
he's
to
a
bottom.
Master mechanic.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
He does know the stuff, and I've... The advantage of having him here as a co-host in the show is that I get to milk him for information every time. come here and tell me this, you know.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, like a lot of people, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm a backyard mechanic.
Right,
I know stuff, and I'm real good at taking stuff apart. I
yep.
have no fear. Now, putting it back together correctly, there's where, you know, I got to take my time. And I'm, you know, I've built 11 motorcycles. I'm not afraid to do it. But there's a skill level that... You know, when you have to learn something new, it's good to take it slow or find somebody who knows and take advantage of their expertise. And, you know, he'll hear this later and he'll probably be embarrassed that I'm saying nice things about him. But he really is good at what he does. And I guess the point of this is so many people who, you know, have hit us up on Facebook or sent us emails or listened to the show, you know, they're just guys who are trying to build a
yes,
car.
Yes.
And not everybody has expertise in all things mechanical, and the best advice that I can give, you know, folks like that is get with somebody who's got more knowledge than you are and sit at their knee and, you know, learn what you can
yes.
learn, and don't be afraid to say, I can't do that.
Right.
Either can you help? Do you know somebody who can? Or is there somebody I can hire to do the work for me? Because in the end, no matter what kind of a car, truck, bike, whatever it is you're building, you're going to have to drive that thing down the road and get home safe. And that is exactly why I decided that I didn't want to weld up my own frame.
Right.
It's not that I couldn't. It's just that if I did, I'm not sure I would trust it. And having it break at 60 miles an hour is not something I wanted to experience.
Did you do any, on any of your motorcycle builds, did you do anything that you changed the rake and you
yes.
had to do some welding?
Oh, yeah. But see, understand, when I was changing the neck angle and doing the welding and stuff on the bikes that I built, it was some years ago, and I was doing oxy-acet. And that's a little bit different. I can do that.
Right.
It takes longer, but...
And you can do a lot of grinding to remove
all
that.
Well, it's not so much that. If you don't do a perfect weld, you just heat it up and go again.
Oh,
you can make a
right.
new puddle,
okay.
and it's a little bit more forgiving. And for me, MIG welding and TIG welding, it's a... I'm still learning. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I'm capable fully, by the way, of making a complete mess of a weld. And so I'm not afraid to say that when you bump up against your skill level, there's no shame in going to getting somebody that knows what's going on.
Well, what I've noticed too is that whether you're watching these shows on TV, you'll note that the owner doesn't do it all, that he has a crew.
Oh, sure.
And Elton's building the crew. He does a lot. But what's going on is you have to have a team, and teams help you out. So when you're building your car, get a team around you. Join those car clubs. Get around other people that already have done what you're doing, and they'll give you advice. They'll help you out. You help them out. You go out and you hey, we got to pull an engine. I'll be out there. I'll help out with that.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to do a little of this. I'll help it out. And then that makes me... change corners here a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about the fact that when you live in a neighborhood that doesn't allow a lot of room, whether it's in your yard or you don't have a shop, and or even parking issues, and our time's going to get up here, but I want us to discuss a little bit about some of the challenges of living in modern-day townships.
Sure.
I'm facing a couple of them right now, and maybe you can help me out a little bit.
Well, it's something that everybody who builds a car or adjusts a car has to deal with.
Yep.
Not all of us have a huge four-car shop and the full lift and stuff, and we can cover that. Let's take a break, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Building on a budget.
Yes, that's a good topic. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag...
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punk Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismail, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on, because hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismail, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismail. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismail, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Well, we don't have Vehicle City in our neck of the woods, but you do have the third segment of the show right now, and it's Brady and I, and we do not have a guest this week, so our guest actually will be in the future. He was kind enough to say, Steve, I can't make it. I remembered my son's graduating tonight.
I'm like, you just like that?
Yeah. And I said, you know what? You go to your son's graduation.
We'll talk to Matt next week. No problem.
Yeah, we'll have him on. So anyhow, we were starting to talk about on the other side the idea of when you are pressed with room, whether it's I'm gonna bring up a real situation with me this week.
Well, this is a topic that just about every hot rodder and builder has to deal with, unless they're independently wealthy.
Yes, you're right.
And that is, you know, where are you going to build this marvelous vision that you've created? And, you know, if you're lucky enough...
Much less even park it.
Sure. Unless you're lucky enough to have a four-car garage or, you know, a really forgiving wife who'll let you build it in the living room. Mostly, you have to build, you know, at some sort of compromise.
Yes.
Now, in your case, you've got a driveway, a residential driveway. You're in a cul-de-sac, and you know there's some space to park on your street. In my case, I don't even have that. I live in a condo complex with a driveway along the side
of my house.
Single
car garage, right?
No, I have a double car garage.
Oh, okay.
But I've got a car and two motorcycles in there. So I'm not gonna give that. And I have a deal with my wife.
She's one of those motorcycles, isn't she?
Well, but more importantly, she's one of the car. She is the car.
Oh, yes.
My deal with my wife is this. She gets to keep the car in the garage, and I get to sleep in the house.
I hear you.
So this happens to everybody.
Yes,
unless,
it does.
Unless you just have magical room. So, yeah, there's really two things we should talk about. Number one, how do you manage building, you know, a car, a truck, a hot rod of some sort without, you know, unlimited space? And two, what kind of equipment or stuff is a good idea to have if you're going to assay a project like this before you get started, you know, too deep along the line? And I got some thoughts about that, but go with what you were talking
about
there.
Well, fortunately, I do have the room to do the actual work. My garage, it's a two-car garage. One side is my shop, my wood shop, plus storage. Or food and all that, freezer and everything. Yeah. The other side, well, it's a storage too. Plus, it's all my cabinets that I'm working on right now. So I'm working
There's no such thing as cars in a garage.
Yeah, oh, God. It was. The El Camino was parked there for years.
Yeah.
Then I pulled everything out. My wife closed her business. Everything's there. And some stuff of my son who was supposed to have moved out that's still there. And I'm building cabinets for my house, and I'm really in the thick of that right now.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Well, and that's what happens.
The El Camino's on the side, on the one part of the driveway. My wife's is on the other, so that's fine.
Right.
But I live in a cul-de-sac, and it's a really nice neighborhood. Been there for 20-plus years. Then the enforcement officer shows up every so often and says, guys are actually pulling in straight in instead of parallel parking in this cul-de-sac. And we're like, yeah, but we can get five more cars in here by doing that. And it's not hurting anybody. We all like this. So,
and then he starts quoting the statutes to you.
Yes, he does. So what we do is we end up scrambling, moving around. Well, this last week, my son was home. He calls me up, Dad, there's some guys down there, and he's marking
guys with a tow truck.
And he's marking our car. And I'm like, what? Go on down there and take a look at it. And so he went down there, and he talked to him, and it was the enforcement officer. Yeah, it wasn't the policeman.
Code enforcement guy?
Code enforcement. Yeah. And he said, yeah, we got a complaint, blah, 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 blah. So my son's saying, well, what cars? Well, there's this, 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 and this.
Right.
And I says, okay, we can get rid of the Crown Vic. We'll figure out. We can maybe, okay, we'll move the truck, I just moved that last week. So then we said, well, who complained? And here I'm thinking it was the waste management guys or something because they're having a hard time.
Oh, the garbage
around.
Guys. The sure, garbage sure, guys. Yeah, yeah.
No, it was one of our 20-year neighbors who didn't bother to come over and knock on our door and just say, you know, you guys can, you know, we have.
Well.
And so what I decided is I said, okay, after having a rant on my phone to myself, I told my son, I says, okay, we're not talking to any of our neighbors about this. We're not going to say it. We're going to adjust to it. So what we did is we quickly formulated a plan. My middle son took his car and found a friend to park it at. That's the Crown Vic, and he's got to do some repair, and then he's gonna sell it. So that plan, in the 2 months, he should have got rid of that car. The other, which is a truck, which is my youngest son, who's 15, and he's taking driver's ed, I will just drive that every couple, 3 days.
Oh, so you're doing the four-wheel shuffle.
Yes, we are.
And you know?
And now we won't have any problems.
That's so many people. And I mean, we talk to people all the time, and here in the show and away from the show, I can't tell you how many people. We've had that exact same conversation. I have a good friend whom I've known for 30 years, and he shares a house, and the driveway is the length of his garage, and then there's the street. So
yep.
That's it.
That's it.
And on-street parking where he lives is not a thing. So same thing. You know, what do you do? And he's got two. He's got his car, then he's got a backup car for business, and
right.
then he's got, you know, two hot rods. So where you may be wondering, and it's a very, very common situation that there's never a really good solution, but there are solutions. Now, one thing that you were talking about earlier, which a lot of people do, is they'll get a car cover, and the one that doesn't move, you know,
that will be my driveway
often,
one.
You put a car cover on it.
I'm going to put a car cover on it.
And it becomes, for some reason or another, a cover on the car makes it less of an eyesore.
Yes.
It could be a collector. It could be a rare Jaguar. It could be any kind of
thing. People don't care.
Well, it's less, yeah, it's just less like, it doesn't look like an old car sitting there. It's a treasure. And it's amazing how often that kind of thing, you know, actually works. The other thing is, I've heard people talk about, and I've done this myself, is to build a canopy or get one, you know, for $250 to $500, depending on what, you know, how exotic you
I
want to get.
I have no place on the side of my place, but you
right.
do.
Well,
you,
I do.
You
and
do.
It doesn't always work, but sometimes if you put a canopy yep. up, sometimes those things are enclosable or they have at least a front
yep. Yep.
that's got a zip. Well, now that becomes, it's a room.
People put boats under there and their
yeah.
travel trailers
now,
and
not
that
every
kind of thing.
Not every place will allow that. Some,
no.
Especially now, I live in a condo complex and there are covenants, like you can't do certain things.
Yep.
Now, in my case, I can do it,
yep.
but it's only because, you know, that works. If you don't have that as an option, then some people get real creative. They'll put a double gate into their backyard. They'll move something into the backyard.
Yes, they will.
Or, you know, there's lots of ways
yes.
to do it. But one of the best solutions, if you have a little extra scratch, is rent yourself a storage room. You can rent a garage.
Yes. Yep.
And, you know, a 10 by 20 garage is wide enough that you can put a car in there, or you can put pieces of a car and then go down there and get the pieces you need when you're building it.
I knew somebody, this is years ago, who
yeah.
was heavily into building cars and working on cars, and he had the same exact thing. He had a public storage unit,
yeah,
and it was like a 20 by 40 or whatever, you know,
right.
you know,
right.
pull it up. And we went over there to get something, and he opened up, and sure enough, there was a car, two parts
sure.
of a car, and just loads of
exactly.
automotive stuff. And then he had actually built what I would call a loft, so he could go up a little ladder, and then he had an upper area so that he could store, because it's a tall enough ceiling that he
yeah.
had enough room to put a loft and organize. So you
something
could,
that he
you
added.
It yes.
wasn't nothing that
and he could remove it
structure.
At any time.
Yeah.
It was just basically
exactly.
2x4s and whatever.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Because now all of a sudden you slide the one car underneath it, and you've got that extra area. So
sure.
those are good things. The other thing that you mentioned is when you do have enough room to work on your thing, what are the things that you're going to need to keep? And I can tell you this, beg and borrow when it comes to engine lifts and dollies and things like that. You don't
yeah.
need to get a picker. You go rent one of those. And you pull the engine out and the tranny mission. You put that on a small cart on the floor and move it around. You don't, and then you take that thing back. You don't need one of those unless that's your full time gig and you've got a big shop.
I'm going to go a slightly different direction. I agree with you, except here's the thing. Now, in my particular case, it's my house, so I can add what I wanted.
Right.
The first thing I did was I called the electrician, and I had him put a 30-amp circuit on the outside of the house so that I could plug the welder in outside. I didn't have to worry about pulling stuff in.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay, so that didn't cost much.
Or in your garage, you could do the same thing.
Well, I have one in the garage, but the wall on the other side of where the main service panel is where the canopy is.
I've got to outfit my garage
didn't cost much.
No.
And it's like, okay, in retrospect, I might have done a 50 amp instead of a 30, but I got a 110 welder, so it's not that bad of a deal, and I don't pop the circuit very often unless I'm really just hammered on something. The other thing I seriously recommend is get yourself a set of wheel dollies. It's going to cost you about $80, but that way, if you have a roller, you don't have to push it around on its own wheels. You got the dollies, you can flip it
around.
Are
you talking about where you actually put it underneath the car?
Yeah, those little four-wheeled troughs that the wheels go in. And then you jack it up and put it on wheel dollies. Now you can move that thing around
easily. The other one that I saw up at the shop was it's a scissor lift. And it has wheels on the front.
Yeah.
And you just you raise it up.
It's all good if you have a compressor and you want to do that. But the dollies are easy. They're low tech.
And the money is going to be a lot more than the dollies.
Right. Now, back to the engine hoist. I say that you can rent one. If all you're going to do is pull an engine once and put it back in, and you're going to do it all in one day or 2 days, rent one. That's fine. I spent $110 and I bought a 2-ton lift. Now, it's just a picker, basically. But I did that because I don't know how long that motor's going to be out of there. I want to move it around 2 or 3 times. It's easier to do that now. It means at the end of the project, I may sell it for $50 or something.
Right.
But I don't have to worry about taking it back. I don't have to worry about it hanging there. You know, it's for me, that was easier. But everybody, it's kind of up to you as how much room you have. The other thing that I'm a big fan of is get a compressor. Just spend the money, get a decent compressor. I got a 150-pound compressor. It's not the biggest one in the universe, but it's portable, and it works. It's loud, but I only use it when
I've had one of those for years for my for all my nail guns.
I hate to, bang on Harbor Freight, but they're actually pretty good for stuff like that. If you don't need the best in the world, you're not a professional mechanic. You just need that. Air tools are so much easier than electric. And it's worth the investment. And then the other thing is, depending on your skill level, if you think you're ever going to weld, get a decent, MIG welder. Mm-hmm. You can get a stick or a stick welder. You can do oxyacet if that's what you want. You want a gas weld, that's fine. But get a decent kit. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and spend, $1,500 on a Miller.
Right.
I got a Craftsman welder. It cost me $180. It's not the best in the world, but it does what I need it to do. And I'm not going to build a frame from the ground up.
No.
Now, you may have more skill than I do. Lord knows everybody does. But for me, the circuitry, the dollies, the compressor, a decent welder, and then, a reasonable slate of tools and, for love of everything holy, a rolling toolbox.
Right.
Because you're going to move it, walking back and forth from the car to the toolbox, that gets old after about the fourth trip.
Well, now, where you're at, because of your location, you need to bring your tools around. For me, I'm in the garage. It's easy for me just to have it right there.
If you can, that's great. But having, at very least, having a rolling workstation.
I do know
not bad.
That my habit of when I'm working on the car is all the tools I need end up going on my workbench.
Yeah.
I put covers on my table saw and put cardboard and board so that it doesn't hurt the top of the table saw, so it's completely covered. Then I put a cardboard box, and I put everything in there.
Sure. That's
and
good
then,
if you have
so
that.
So it keeps everything organized, and I notice that when I'm done, another 15, 20 minutes just putting my tools away because they're like scattered all over in where I'm working.
Sure. Well, just put them back in the box.
Oh,
and then when you're done with the project, you just throw the box away because you don't have to worry about cleaning it up. Yeah.
Right. And so simple things like that. But I know that when I do mine, it's going to take a long time. So the engine's going to be parked someplace. The tranny will be parked someplace.
Yeah.
It'll be parts and pieces in my garage, in my shed, in the back, and whatever, so that I can get to the different things when I need to. But it's kind of like anybody who's worked on cars knows you put everything organized. You put all your things, this, take good pictures.
With that in mind, pictures are good. Manuals, of course, all of that kind of stuff if you need them. But
tag things.
Well, simple, really. A reasonable supply of relatively sturdy cardboard boxes and a Sharpie. I've got carburetors in here. I've got electrical parts in here, blah, 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 blah. That makes it really easy to go grab the stuff you're going to use and then, you know, bring it in for the project you got at the time.
I've even used egg cartons for putting bolts and nuts and stuff like that in the little sections and stuff like that.
I got shoe boxes. I got egg cartons.
Anything.
I got all that stuff.
Any kind of thing. And that's because we're not professionals. We don't have the professional materials. We just use what we got.
And no matter what you do, you're going to lose the 10-millimeter socket anyway.
Too many times. Too many times.
Hey, this is the best automotive show in the known world. Horsepower, chrome, and rust. I got a great hot rod story for you coming up next.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
41, 31. I mean, 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Olderden Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the show.
What
this
the heck
is
was that?
Wow! I just blew it out.
They
sorry, guys.
That
must have been your ears right there.
This is gone.
Cars Confidential. Where we share all kinds of hot rod stories. And Brady, what's the story this week? I've blown your eardrums out.
My ears are bleeding. That's
kind of like some of the engines that got started up at the Cruising Colby a couple weekends
That's
ago.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Well, we got a good one, actually.
Great God's car.
This one is from the Old Car Nut book number 1. And it is a story by Tom Glide. It's called Who's the Boss? And it was just another nice summer day in the sleepy little town I lived in. My friend Bob and I were at the local tavern having a burger and a beer for lunch when an older guy dressed in farm clothes walked up to us and asked, "Are either of you Bob Dawson?" So Bob says, that depends on why you're asking. Asked the guy to sit down. This guy slid up on a stool next to Bob, ordered a draft, and said, they tell me you like old Mustangs. Now, this is quite an understatement because both of us had an eye for old cars, but Mustangs were Bob's first love. He'd owned a whole corral of nice Mustangs over the years and currently owned a beautiful Burgundy 69 Mach 1, which was sitting out in the parking lot. Bob says, that I do. Why? He says, I have one that I want to get rid of if you're interested. Well, he had Bob's attention. I might be. Is it a fastback or a convertible? Bob said. He never really cared for the coupe versions. The old guy took a sip of his beer, said, yeah, it's a fastback. I think some special model, too. I don't know that much about it. My son had it, and he told me it was okay to sell it. I just want it gone. Now he had our undivided attention. So we got directions to where it was, and we told the guy we'd come and look at it when we finished our lunch. Oddly enough, the car was behind a barn just a few minutes out of town and right underneath our noses for years. Why in the heck hadn't we seen or heard of it before?
Because it was in a barn, near a barn.
I guess. After he left, we started to wonder about what special model it could be, and was it really a fastback? The guy did say he thought it was. How much you want to bet it's a rusted-out six-cylinder coupe that somebody tacked some ugly tape stripes on, Bob says. I nodded in agreement. Both of us enjoyed buying old cars and flipping them. However, if either of us had a nickel for every time somebody called a pile of junk special just to try to get a ton of money out of it, we'd be doing pretty well. But, as promised, we drove out to see it. We were both pleasantly surprised to see that it not only was a fastback, but it was a 70 Boss 302.
Oh, yes.
We both stood there slack-jawed looking at it. It was pretty straight, solid, still wore the original orange paint and black day-glow stripes. It had Magnum 500s all the way around, and what looked to be the original, albeit bald and dry-rotted, Goodyear polyglass tires. The telltale hood, the front sitting high up with an open hole in the hood where the shaker scoop once resided, suggested the engine was gone. It still was a very desirable car, and on further inspection we noticed it had a perfect black interior and the shaker scoop was in the back seat.
Oh.
So the top loader 4-speed was found in the trunk, complete with a Hurst shifter. Closer inspection of the body revealed it was relatively rust and dent-free and 100% complete. It had never been butchered in any way, and all of the hard-to-find parts, like the original battery cables, the hose clamps, and so on, that are normally long gone, were still there. Even the smog pump was in the trunk.
Wow.
This thing is worth a fortune, I told Bob. He agreed. We didn't know what the price was, but began to think that it was something we'd have to pool our money together to buy. Just then, the old guy comes around the barn and joined us. I see you found it, he says. Look like something you'd be interested in? And Bob says, well, I'm definitely interested, as he walked around the car. Well, then make me an offer. Well, I can't be both the buyer and the seller, Bob replied. Well, tell me what you'd like to get for it, and keep it in mind the engine's gone, which is a big part of what makes that car special. No, it's not, the guy says. The engine's in my machine shed. My son was going to soup it up. We couldn't believe it. He took us to the shed and showed us the complete but dusty engine sitting on a crusty old engine stand. We wondered if we were going to find a third investor, maybe. Well, it's definitely all there, Bob said. So how much are you asking? The old guy took off his dirty John Deere cap and rubbed his balding head. He says, I don't know, $300 sound about fair?
Oh, no way.
I just about fell down. He'd asked Bob about buying it, so I had to let him have the first dibs, but I had the words, I'll take it, firmly pressed against the inside of my lips, just in case Bob would pass out. Like that was going to happen.
Right.
Would you take $250, Bob said.
Oh, my. No!
I wondered if he'd lost his mind. The louvers on the back window were worth the asking price. Yeah, I'd probably take that, the guy responded, but I ain't storing this damn thing for God knows how long. If you buy it, I want it out of here ASAP. We basically only touched the high spots on the road, getting back to Bob's house to borrow his dad's truck and trailer to retrieve it. The car was the deal of a lifetime, but sadly neither of us got a chance to see it completed, because shortly into the project, Bob was involved in a car accident that left him paralyzed from the waist down. In order for him to drive it, it would have to have been converted to an automatic transmission, which he couldn't bear to do. But he really didn't want to sell it either. I kept on him for years to give me a price to buy it. And eventually, he told me I could have it if I found him a sidecar for his beloved Harley. Before I could locate one, a car collector came along and gave him $9,500 for it, which was very good money for what was then little more than a 12-year-old Mustang with special options. I wonder what that car would be worth now. A 70 Boss 302 all there.
I can tell you.
Can you imagine?
I actually will top that story.
Yeah? Well, can you imagine what that car would be worth?
The guy that I was telling you about earlier, Mike, who, hold on there, we got something going on.
Oh, exciting. While you're doing that, I will thank David Dickinson for sharing all those stories in the Old Car Nut book. There are, as we mention all the time, 3 books in that series, and you can get them on Amazon or from Evancourt Press. They do make a terrific gift, and again, thanks to David Dickinson for letting us read those stories every week. They're really a lot of fun. So what do you got? What's your topper?
The guy that had the storage unit that he had built the little loft in.
Oh, right.
Well, his name was Mike. And Mike was an interesting character. Mike didn't believe in banks, so that's how I found out that he had a storage unit. Because he says, Steve, I got this really good deal that we're going to go over and buy a car. It's a 70 Boss Mustang, all original.
Nice.
And I said, so how much are they going for? Well, I'm taking over $3,500. This is 83. 1983, he goes over to this guy's house as a kid and his wife-to-be. I think she was pregnant, and they needed some money. And he said, the kid's like, well, I don't know. And Mike flashes the $3,500 in $100 bills. And the guy says, okay. I followed Mike home, and I went $3,500 for an all-original Boss 302. And it was the green, the light green colored
one. Oh, yeah.
That $3,500 for a driver that was all original.
So we should take a minute and look one of these things up. I tell you what I'll do. I will Google...
Yes.
70 Boss 302 while we're on the break.
Yes.
And I'll come back and we'll figure out what that thing is worth today, because I can't imagine that it's worth any less than, what, 30 grand? It's got to be easily that.
You see them once in a while at some of the car shows, but the thing is, it's like the Chevelles, SSs, a lot of these things are not real. They're not number matchers. They're actually mock-ups.
And yeah. Or assembled cars.
Assembled cars and no number matchers and all that. And I don't have a problem with that, but it's when you find the original running gear, the original numbers, that's what these cars.
Oh, well, here you go. According to the most recent in conceptcars.com, a 1970 Boss 302 value in 2009, the average went for $73,120. High sale that year was $407,000. And
I'm sure Mike,
old Bob bought one for $250.
Yeah, and I'm sure Mike sold his and made a mint.
He can't imagine.
Because that's his deal, was wheel and dealing. Wow.
Well, the weekly trivia question's coming up. We got a hint at next week's show, so just put it in park. Stick around. We'll have more fabrication next.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of Sea.
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambience & Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
I love the bass line on this song. Nice get. Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, where we talk about all the events and rallies and cruise-ins and movies and books and the weekly trivia question, too. We do have a bunch of things coming up because it's June and we're in the midst of car show season. But first and foremost, last week,
yes,
when last we left our heroes, we had asked about toll roads and when the first toll road opened up. We did say that it was in Pennsylvania and Connecticut, which will make sense when you hear when it was. When was the first time, do you suppose, the government decided to charge us for driving?
Probably around 1923.
Oh, man. If only. If only. Now, remember, the question was, the first U.S. toll roads opened in Pennsylvania and Connecticut. Toll roads. Didn't say cars. The government's been charging us to drive on roads since 1792.
Oh, my gosh.
So wow. when the word horsepower really meant something. So
wow.
it wasn't a trick question. It's the truth, but it's kind of funny because we actually had a guy who came up with it.
No kidding.
Jack Pettigrew got with me on Facebook and said, "You can't possibly be talking about cars," because I Googled it, he bald-facedly admitted, which is fine. And 1792, so Jack is the winner of our very own chrome-plated, brass-polished bucket of barn-find dust, which, of course, is our standard prize for the trivia question here on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And Jack will be sprinkling that liberally on his 58 Volkswagen, and it'll be worth four times.
Excellent.
You know, it's marvelous, so congratulations, Jack. I got one for you this week, though. Nobody's going to get this one. We spend a lot of time talking about radio because, after all, we're a podcast and we sort of are internet radio.
Yep.
Well, radio has been a part of automobiles for a long, long time. People have been cruising to the music for a long, long time. When, you may wonder, was the radio first offered as an accessory on cars in America? And, oh boy, it was America that came up with this.
Wow.
We are the Cruising with the Tunes Kings. If you know, you can get with us on Facebook at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You can answer us through contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Or you can just yell really, really loud, and one of us will hear, and then we will have the winner of this one next week. It's a good one.
I bet you we were the inventors of the drive-in as well.
Oh, you know we were.
You could, there's a...
Of course we were.
Remember the movie Double Indemnity? Have you heard of it?
Of course, yes.
There's a...
Gene Tierney, I think.
Gene Tierney and Fred McMurray. And there's a part where Fred McMurray goes to eat at a drive-in.
That's right.
And he's sitting there having his burger, and they serve a cold beer.
That's right.
And I thought, that is so cool.
That's
cold beer right
there.
That's
why Rube Goldberg was a hero of everybody who came up with those inventions. The dumbwaiter. There's another one.
There's another one. Yes.
Yep. So it is June. We are in the midst of car show season, and one of the big ones around the Northwest is coming up on June 10th. That is the Triple X Fenders and Fins car show in Issaquah, Washington. And when we say Triple X, I'm not talking about questionable movies. I'm talking about the Triple X Root Beer
place. The one and only.
Oh, man, it is a classic. And, you know, for those of you who are out of the area a little bit, please make the trip. Come to Issaquah. Go to the Triple X Root Beer. It's the perfect drive-in for that kind of stuff. We missed the triple. Well, we missed. It was the third. They had one out there for convertibles only. But, this one's on the 10th. It's just going to be a gas. Fenders and Fins, it's a classic show. I think our good friend Lance Lambert is going to be the MC for that show. Also, on the 12th through the 17th, down at the LeMay America's Auto Museum, they are having Motorcycle Week.
Mm.
And that's really going to be cool because they have all kinds of antique and classic motorcycles that you just do not see. And if you are not in the area, but you are close to Grand Ronde, Oregon, on the 16th, it's the Roll the Dice car show down there. That's a
awesome.
Good one. Yep. That's our cue to hit the gas until next week. Be sure to like and follow our website, our Facebook page. Check out the archives for all our shows at horsepowerchromerust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.